The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At that time, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman of that district came and called out, "Have pity on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But Jesus did not say a word in answer to her. Jesus' disciples came and asked him, "Send her away, for she keeps calling out after us." He said in reply, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But the woman came and did Jesus homage, saying, "Lord, help me." He said in reply, "It is not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Please, Lord, for even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the table of their masters." Then Jesus said to her in reply, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And the woman's daughter was healed from that hour.
The Gospel of the Lord.
Our three readings today are all about the mission of the church, the purpose of the church, why the church was created. And I'm not talking simply about the church of the New Testament, the Christian church, but the church of the Old Testament, which was the house of Israel. Both the Old and the New Church had the exact same mission, and it was to bring everybody to know the Lord and to worship the Lord together. So Isaiah says, what the Lord wants is for all the unchurched, all the Gentiles, all the pagans to come and worship in the house of the Lord, which would be a house of prayer for all people, not just some, all people. That's what God wants. He still wants it. So that was the purpose of the church in Israel, purpose of the church in the New Testament, which we are part of, same mission, same goal. And it's not just my mission, my ministry, it's also yours. In fact, I would say it's more yours than it is mine, because you're out in the world, and that's where we're called to be. Because remember, Jesus did not have an office, or if he did, I didn't know, I don't know about it. He was out all the time walking around. So he didn't stay in an office doing paperwork, planning programs. He encountered people by going out to them. Now, that's the model of the mission of the church, for you and for me, not to stay in our offices or our homes, but go out and encounter people. And that's why the Gentile woman, the Canaanite woman, came to him, because obviously she heard somebody come to her who had encountered Jesus and said, "Hey, there's this guy who's going around healing people." And she had faith. She already had faith. She didn't really need to be converted, because what does she say to God, to Jesus? "Lord." She's already acknowledging that he's God. And because of her great faith, her daughter was cured. And then we have Paul. Paul's saying, "I am the apostle to the Gentiles," which means the unchurched, the pagans. And he's hoping that he does it so well that his fellow Jews will get jealous and want to become Christians too. But again, Paul didn't have an office. He was out there all the time encountering people. Again, he's a model of a missionary, exactly the way we're called to be missionaries, to be out in the world proclaiming Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So there's no mystery to the purpose of the church. The church exists to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And it doesn't happen through wishful thinking. I mean, I could say, "Oh Lord, okay, I want you to bring 10 people into this church. I want you to suddenly know you as Lord and Savior and push the doors open and come." It's not going to happen. But it could happen if one of you or several of us were out on the street encountering someone, just striking up a conversation and maybe saying, "Is there something I can pray with you about?" And that may lead to more of a conversation, where the person then will say, hey, I want to know about this God that you talk about, this God to whom you pray, the God who healed the Canaanite woman's daughter. But that's our call. In fact, I could put it this way. I will. You can throw stones at me later. You know, I got a pretty hard back. But it's a scandal in one sense that our churches are not full of people. Full every single Sunday. And not because that's an end in itself. Not so that we can pat our back and say, oh, look, we got a full church. No, because if we did have a full church, it would mean that you and I are really missionaries. We are evangelists. We are doing what God says we have to do. We would be fulfilling the Great Commission to go into the world, proclaim the gospel, and baptize people. That's part of our mission. Now, you may not actually do the baptism, but you bring the people to me, and I baptize them. But you've got to do that. And I'm going to give you some really good news. You know, I like to give you some things to go take home with you, some facts. I'm going to give you two facts. These are astounding. Well, first of all, the word unchurched. That basically means people who do not belong to a church. And it could be that they do believe in God in some way, or maybe they don't, but they're not connected with any church, and probably never were. But it doesn't mean they're not open. Not at all, because we know that Jesus has implanted in us a desire for him, every single person. So we got that going for us. We don't have to prime the pump in one sense. God has already done it. And if you don't know what prime the pump means, I mean, I'm an old person, look it up, because it's a great old phrase. But God has primed the pump, and he set everything up, so all we have to do is go out and fulfill his commission. So what's the unchurched, people who are not connected with the church. Now, in the area of our three parishes, there are approximately 50,000 people, probably more, but about 50,000 people. And statistically, we know, and this is true all over our diocese, basically, every parish I've been in, it's been the same statistic. Basically, 40% are unchurched. 40%, 4 out of every 10. So what would 40% of 50,000 be? 20,000. 20,000 people in our neighborhoods who are unchurched. That's great. That's good news for us, because that means we got a lot of good work to do. 20,000 people, and they have been given to us by the Lord in a particular way so that we can be the church, we can be Christ to them, go out to them, draw them to Jesus Christ. It's not about drawing them to us, but rather to drawing them to Jesus Christ so that they can worship with us, be part of the house of God, be part of his church, and in turn, go out and evangelize some more. In other words, be disciples. So if you think about 20,000 people in our neighborhoods that are unchurched, that's a fantastic number. And that's just our parishes. It's not the rest of the parishes of the diocese. But if you think about it, there is a great call, a great need for us to actually be the church that God created us to be, to go forth and proclaim the gospel. And again, I know Catholics, we're not raised to be evangelists. I don't know how many times I've heard, well, I don't want to be like a Mormon. I don't want to be like a Jehovah's Witness. And I say, well, I wish you were. I wish you were a little bit more like those people who really truly believe what they believe and are willing to go door to door and even have the door slammed in their faces. Wouldn't that be wonderful if that happened to us? Because it would mean we're actually doing something about our faith. But we Catholics don't think that. And yet, again, did Jesus do that? Yes. Did the apostles do that? Yes. Are we doing it? That's where our challenge comes in as the church today, to go forth and proclaim the good news of salvation and draw people to Jesus Christ so that they will want to be baptized and be part of the kingdom of God. And you don't have to have a degree in theology to be a good evangelist. All that you really need is a conviction that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior for every person, and he wants every person to come to know him. And if we have that guiding light in our lives, and if we have a deep faith in Jesus, an excitement, a joy, why don't we want to share it? But that's how the church grows, and we have heard of missionaries that go around the world to proclaim the gospel in very difficult situations, very poor areas, but they do it with great zeal and joy because they're committed to sharing Jesus with other people. Well, we too are called to have that same zeal, and maybe not be missionaries that go to Africa or Asia, but to be missionaries in our own neighborhoods. And if each of us looked at all the people in our neighborhoods and thought, who are those people? Do I know them? Do I want to get to know them? Do I want to proclaim Jesus Christ to them? We'd find ways to do that. And the more we come together to share our encounters with other people, the more we're going to find that indeed we are equipped by the Holy Spirit to be people of a missionary spirit. So if you leave with anything, think of those two things, unchurched. There are a lot of them in our area. And then 40%, 20,000 people in our parish neighborhoods who are unchurched and really who have a right to hear the word of God proclaimed to them. And that means us. That means us going forward and finding very simple, clever ways of sharing our faith in Jesus Christ. So when push comes to shove, beginning and end, the church is nothing more than the way God accomplishes his desire, his mission, to bring everybody into his house so that it is a house of prayer for all people. So it would be wonderful if next week, when we came in, we could share with one another, you know, I talked to a stranger. I just started talking about anything and then said, you know, is there anything I can pray with you about? And then I prayed with them right there. And you can make up any prayer you want. But to share that encounter with someone, because I guarantee not only will you be a blessing, a light to that individual, but you will be blessed far more than they are. And again, that's what God promises. So the entire Bible is, and I've said this before, our story, and it is a story of evangelization, of missionary activity, of God saying to us, you are missionaries. I have chosen you to go out into the world and proclaim the gospel to every creature and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So whatever is getting in our way, we need to counter it. We need to challenge it, to move it aside, because that's simply what Satan wants us to hold on to. But to say, no, my faith is in Jesus Christ, just like the Canaanite woman. She had great faith. We too can have that kind of great faith to go forward and proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. So surprise yourself this week. Surprise yourself. Encounter someone. Find out who they are. And then slip somehow your faith into that conversation so that you can be the disciple, the missionary disciple, like Paul, that we were created to be.